Hey everyone, we're back.
Yeah, welcome back to One More Thing.
This is called a snack. We're going to release a couple of them this summer, leading up to season two.
So excited for that.
This is a cut conversation from our finale with Anna before Anna was our producer.
Yeah.
We're going to release a couple more of these. Some of them are going to be cut stuff. Some of them are going to be new things. It's going to be a great summer.
Enjoy this conversation with Anna.
Well, this was kind of addressed in one of your other episodes about, like, straight people playing gay characters. But I'm wondering, like,
I feel like that's something that we kind of brushed off, but, like, three or four people have asked me about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's such a conversation right now, especially the conversation about, like, casting and, like, diversity and casting and, like,
yeah,
diversity beyond race or diversity beyond gender, like, whatever. And, like, sometimes it gets, like, so, like, I feel like, I call them lazy white liberals, get so down to, like, the nitty-gritty without even thinking about, like, what it's actually, like, what actually is at play or, like, what the story is actually about. So I'm wondering, like, in the way, right, that we, that, like, you guys brought up in, like, One Day at a Time, like, Cuban characters played by Puerto Rican actors or, like, whatever, oftentimes, like, some of my friends who are gay will be like, well, this gay character was played by a straight character, but I know that's not, like, a uniform opinion slash it's not really the same thing
it's
at
not
all.
The same.
And so, like, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I was talking to, actually just yesterday, I was talking to my friend who's a playwright. We were talking about a play that is very successful right now that recently won an award and stars one
the
of
Pulitzer.
His... Recently won the Pulitzer. He was like, well, like, if I'm not allowed to write black people in my plays, why is Lynn Nottage allowed to write poor people? When she, like, grew up.
Oh.
Like, she...
I have so many thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like... Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, that was going to be my next question about, like, straight playwrights writing gay characters. Because I... and or, like, writing genderqueer characters, I feel like is, like, kind of also, like, a tricky topic of conversation. Because it's, like, kind of, like, the it thing. Like,
yeah,
in the way that, like, when white playwrights write, like, characters of color, it's always, like... Or even when I go to readings of, like, male playwrights and it's, like, an all-female play, I'm,
yeah,
like, I'm, like, sitting there being, like, okay, like, let's see what you have to say about me. But I was, there was this one Puerto Rican playwright who wrote a play, and it's about, like, the slums of Puerto Rico. And I, like, kind of know her, and I was, like, oh, like, where did you go to school? Because we both grew up in Puerto Rico. And she was, like, oh, I went to, like, this very, like, private, like, fancy, like, school in a very, like, rich part of town. And I was like, oh, and, like, where are your, like, where do your parents live? And she was like, oh, like, in this very, like, rich area. And I was like, oh, interesting. And, like, I grew up in, like, a pretty poor neighborhood, so when I read her play, I was like, oh, this is, like, nothing. As
yeah,
to, like, this is not at all what it's like to, like, grow up in a poor neighborhood in Puerto Rico. And then, but then everyone, because she was writing about Puerto Rican, she's Puerto Rican, like, no one even questioned that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so, like, that's, it's a similar thing to write to that situation of, like, of, like, a class kind of, like, privilege. And, like, then it gets into the nitty gritty of, like, privileges in brown communities or gay communities or
yeah,
whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Rachel and I just saw Indecent, which I saw off Broadway, and I saw it again on Broadway, and, I mean, I really loved it, and for me, the reason that it was so good is because Indecent, for people who don't know, is a play about lesbians, and it's about the creation of that play, and to me, it's, like, and it's incredibly successful because it is written by a lesbian playwright, and it is about a play about lesbians, and so it, like, they really, really understand the material they're working with, and they really get, like, the story they are telling and how to tell it, which
it's
is
just like Moonlight.
That, yeah, just like Moonlight. Like, it's completely made by black gay men, and it's about black gay men.
It's like a cohesive point of view.
Yeah,
yeah. And
there's so many things
it also
that you
takes
don't have
place
to explain.
In the town where they both grew up. Where I know, like,
yeah, yeah, it's like perfect.
Where
yeah,
do you think the line is with writers? Do you think everything needs to be written, like, almost be semi-autobiographical, or do you think
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's better if it's written by someone who understands what they're writing.
Mm-hmm. I guess, I mean, like, where do you think the line is between it being offensive? I mean, this is totally in the other direction, but if, like, a straight white man wrote Moonlight, that would come across as being offensive just because of what Moonlight is about and what it covers. But like,
I think it depends everything on else. Not on the person who writes it, but on the like research and materials they mm-hmm, use. Mm-hmm. To take an example that is like completely devoid of like racial, sexual, etc. connotations, when Annie Baker wrote her adaptation of Uncle Vanya, told me that she was like, Annie, like, I didn't know you spoke Russian. And she was like, I don't. And she was like, oh, did you have a translator? And she was like, no. And she was like, oh, did you, like, just make it up? And she was like, no, I, like, adapted it from other versions of Uncle Vanya that I have read. And, like, it was good, but it's also, like, she didn't bother to, like, read the original Russian. She didn't bother to, like, hire someone to, like, explain it to her in Russian. She didn't, like, put it through Google Translate, you know? And so things like that, to me, are different than, like, when Sarah Rule wrote Three Sisters and she, like, read the original Russian, you know?
And, like, had a Russian person help her with the translation. Yeah.
I think she, like, went to Moscow.
Of course she
did. Like, I wish she wrote it in Moscow.
And so, for me, it's like that. It's like, if I was a writer, which I'm not, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna write a play about a Puerto Rican family, I would be like, Anna, help, you know? And like, I would...
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then we'd write a play together and we'd
write a Pulitzer. You would be the writer in... You you would be the machine that cranks out all of this knowledge that you would have obtained.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, I know what it's like, I'm gonna write
exactly.
it down.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think, like, it comes with, like, an extreme... The responsibility of that is, like, coming in with, like, humility and, like, knowing that that is not your experience.
Yeah.
Even though it's a story that you want to tell. Like, I wrote a play last semester about, like, two, like, second-gen Puerto Rican girls, and my director was white, and she was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to direct this. Like, very genuinely was, like, kind of, like, worried. And she was like, is this, like, even okay? Because it was kind of, like, a last-minute situation. And I was like, the fact that you're asking me this question and, like, that you care this much to ask this question and don't just, like, bulldoze in with, like, your opinions and your assumptions and, like, whatever is what this is about.
Yeah.
Like, it is, like, about you being, like, I actually need help to direct this. And, like, then it was just, like, a conversation. And it was great. And, like,
that's
the
nice.
Actors loved working with her. And she, every time she had a question, she would be like, what is this like?
Well, also, I think the best, like, example of that situation is Tangerine. Because, like, Tangerine was written and directed by a white cisgender man. But he was like, I want to tell this story. I don't know how to tell it.
And also, I have the resources to tell it, which is, like,
I'm able to tell it. Let me, like, elevate these voices. And so he, like, went and actually talked to, like, black trans women who are sex workers and were like, what is this like? Tell me. And then he cast two women. Both of the actors in that movie have that experience.
Right.
Both of them were sex workers and both of them are trans women. And they helped him figure out how to tell the story in a way of, like, he is the person with the, like, ability and knowledge of, like, how to write and how to direct, which they don't have because they were not afforded those opportunities.
Right.
But they have the story, you know?
Right.
And he just puts it into words.
So going back to the question, I just remember...
I forgot what it was.
Yeah,
about,
me too.
You
writers,
about, like,
oh, like,
gay
straight
people,
writers,
gay people, like, playing straight people.
Oh,
or,
right.
Sorry,
also
other
that.
Way around. Straight people playing gay people. So in one of my favorite movies, Kill Your Darlings, starring Daniel Radcliffe, it's about the Beat Poet movement. Daniel Radcliffe plays Allen Ginsberg, and in the movie he has gay sex, and Daniel Radcliffe did research and talked to gay men about having gay sex and, like, what that was about so that he could portray it on film.
Andrew Rannells did that on Girls.
Yeah, but he's gay.
No, but, like, Corey Stahl, who he was having a sex scene with, is straight, and Andrew Rannells was the only gay man in the room, and so he, like, Corey Stahl, like, took him aside and was like, how does this work? And Andrew Rannells, like, walked him through it, and Corey Stahl was like, great, thank you.
That's like, interesting. I would have, like, straight up Venmo requested someone and been hey, $15 for emotional
labor. Emotional labor,
Like, listen.
Going back to what we were talking about in the first episode when we brought this up, you were very much like, I don't care about sexuality, mine's more of race and gender, is when you start caring about roles.
I mean, I, like, any day would rather see an actor play a character of the same race as them or an actor play a character of the same gender identity as them than I would see an actor play a character of the same sexuality as them. Just because, and this is a hot take, I don't think sexuality, like, very, very generally, I don't think sexuality has as much of a bearing on your, like, experience of life as race or gender identity do. or gender expression. I mean, obviously there's a difference between like my experience as someone who is like masculine of center is very different from like someone who is like a femme passing lesbian. Mm-hmm. But like generally my experience as a lesbian does not even have 1% as much of the same effect on like my day to day experiences yeah. as being a person of color or a trans person.
Yeah.
I just like so many snaps today because I feel like there are so many of my friends now at NYU who are like these like white kids playing oppression Olympics, which I like hate because yeah. it's like
I've never heard that phrase before, but I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, but I mean it's like so real of like especially at NYU where like everyone is coming from pretty like affluent backgrounds for the most part. And yeah, we'll be in like our SCA classes or mm-hmm. our like social cultural analysis and like our or even our like we'll be reading race theory or gender theory or whatever, and then like the one like white gay guy will be like, well, as a gay man, like I really understand like what you go through as a woman of color, and I'm like, no,
yeah,
like
there's
I know
nothing
that
in that sentence that parallels the other,
yeah,
like at all.
I obviously have a lot of white male friends. Something that I have always found really hard to discuss, like, you know, privilege and oppression with them is that I feel like there's such a culture of, like, checking your privilege now that white gay men think that as soon as they, like, are like, oh, but I'm gay, they're like, I'm done. Now mm-hmm. I have no more privilege. Mm-hmm. And it ignores, like, you know, there are so many different kinds of privilege. The three of us in this room are all come from like very, very different yeah. backgrounds and are very different people. But we all have at least one form of privilege, which is like we are sitting in an apartment in Queens in New York.
Talking,
like with not places working. To go home to tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the fact that we are able to like survive in a big city, in like the most expensive city in the world, and that we like all three of us are gonna go home and like sleep in a bed in an apartment later. And like live in apartments with people who are not abusive to us is like a form of privilege that I feel like people just never even think about. And these like white gay men are like, well, I have the worst life in the world. And it's like, you are not homeless. You are completely able-bodied.
I mean, that's also not to say that there aren't people that like, I just want to clarify that we're talking about a specific kind of person.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 There are different kind of forms of privilege. This like idea of like checking your privilege like applies to like literally everyone.
Yeah, every and moment of
like,
your
I
life.
I wish that Eddie Redmayne would have sat there and been like, should I play the Danish girl?
Yeah.
But I think like where it becomes annoying is when people are like competing.
Yeah.
To be like, well, you don't get what I go through. And it's yeah. like, yeah,
okay,
I don't.
Okay, fine.
Okay, and you don't get what I go through.
And
like,
people
and
are different. Yeah. Jinx.
People are different, but you and I are the same.
That was funny.
If you enjoyed that, remember to subscribe to us on iTunes. The food's here. You just keep going. I'll go get the food.
Subscribe to our newsletter by going to tinyletter.com/onemorething. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter with One More Thing with an A instead of an I because I was taken. Also remember that we have a Patreon account. So go to patreon.com/onemorething to see the kind of rewards and prizes you can help by sponsoring our second season.
Did you finish?
Yeah.
Great.
And also remember to subscribe to us on iTunes.
Oh, so you didn't finish.